Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Most everybody copies everyone. They don't have the courage to be original or to try new things because they just think if someone else is doing it, that it must be working, so they'll copy what other people are doing. So there's very few people out there really playing the game and trying to be original. Everyone has great ideas, but they discount them. That little voice inside them says, you know, nah, that's not going to work, or they hear their mom saying, ah, that's a stupid idea, and they bury it. But one thing I've learned, when I get an idea that pops in my head, I will capture it, and especially if I have a hunch on something, I will just not even think about it, and I will do it.
I had a few questions for you. I mean, I know you're real successful at what you do. I'm curious, do you make all your money through the internet, or is there any percentage of business that you do offline?
Most of my income is somehow related to something online. I have a stream of different incomes, and it goes into my main sources of income is buying and reselling high-end marketing seminars like the J. Abraham products, and you've seen at my website, hardtofindseminars.com, exactly what I do there. So I buy low and I sell high. It's as simple as that, and it's an item that is not readily available, and the only other place you can get it is either from J. Abraham himself, which you'll pay 10 to 20 times as much money on some of the items, not all of the items. So I make money that way, and then I have a pen manufacturing business that I've been doing since 1996, which you can read about in my bio at hardtofindseminars.com, and I think you read through it.
Yeah, I read through some of it. It was pretty good stuff.
Just got a call from JCPenney's, and this is one of my pen products. It's an invisible ink marking pen, and he found me through the internet, and JCPenney's is doing a promotion where they're giving out these gift certificates to all their jewelry buyers, and then the jewelry buyers have to come in with a certificate and they can redeem it for either a piece of jewelry or some kind of discount, and they're taking my invisible ink pen and they're marking the back of these certificates so when people come in they can shine a UV light on them and make sure that they're genuine. So it's a fraud prevention program. I mean, the phone will ring every day with some new source of income that I never thought of. I'll give you another example. I've got a website called Hard to Find Ads. Did you go check out that website?
Yeah, I did. And that, again, I was going to tell you when I talked to you today, reminding myself that, you know, I've never seen anything like it. I always hear about people, marketers, talking about how important it is to study the old archive collections, ancient materials.
Some of this stuff is all the way back to, like, 1910.
It was really, really the most shocking education I've got, to seeing how it almost was like they were just from today, a lot of them. Like, just, you know, they were doing the same stuff.
Well, that's right, because you and I both know human emotions don't change. They're the same as, you know, when we were cavemen and cavewomen. People buy for the same reasons. We're all the same, and we've always been the same all throughout time. So that's why a successful ad from back in 1910 or 1920, one that is successful and one that's written by someone who knows what they're doing, will work today.
Now, where do you get all those ads from?
Various number of sources. The hardtofindads.com website all started when I was on eBay. I always look for old ads because old ads are like a combination to a safe. If an old ad was successful in 1920 selling a diet product, I've got a copywriter who has probably spent many, many hours in researching the diet market and selling a diet product to someone back in the 1920s. Well, that same effort and work and time and editing and re-editing and writing and rewriting, I get to have it for nothing, and then I can use that ad if I ever wanted to promote a diet product or a diet-related product. Those words, those combination of words that have been tested in publications over and over again and refined over and over again could work today. That's like buying thousands and thousands of dollars in hundreds of hours worth of labor of an advertising firm's final product.
Yeah, well, I had a theory while kind of, you know, looking through your ad archives there, the older ones, that you often hear people say, look to see what ads are repeated over and over, and so people aren't just wasting their time. It's those ones that you see repeated over and over are the ones that are pulling in the most dollars and making people millionaires. And so I realized that, wow, this is the longest term tracking method there is. You know, I, for instance, I'll buy an issue of Entrepreneur Magazine and I'll waste, you know, 6 months or so to buy another issue and then compare what's still in there in that 6 month interval to see what guy is still making enough money to support his ad. And then I realized I could do that in the real long term using your website, because I looked at it going, look at some of these ads that I'm still seeing them today, even in Entrepreneur Magazine or some home business magazine, and I'm realizing that has got to be proof right there that these certain types of ads that I'm seeing on your site are definitely winners. They've lasted for over 100 years, and so what better proof of a good ad than that?
Yeah, it's really incredible. It's amazing to see the influence that advertising has on our life. I'm looking right now, I'm sitting in my office, and I'm staring at this little carpet sweeper. It's called a Bissell. Bissell carpet sweeper is called the Go. Now, this is a little kind of a mini one that plugs in and charges up, and everyone knows what a carpet sweeper is, but this thing is, it's 2004 now. Now, the Bissell was put on the map by a man named Claude Hopkins, and I have, Claude Hopkins is regarded as one of the greatest copywriters of all time. And in his earlier career, he worked with Bissell and promoted their carpet sweepers through some incredible and ingenious ways, which you can read about in his book called My Life in Advertising. And if it weren't for Claude Hopkins, back in 1907, I think is when he worked for Bissell, I wouldn't be looking at this box.
That's incredible.
And the same thing goes for many things in your home today, like your Quaker Oats and your Palmolive soap. Pepsodent was one of the first major toothpaste, and it was all done by Claude Hopkins. His research in finding the correct appeal to promote a toothpaste. And back then, toothpaste wasn't something that people normally did, so he had a lot tougher job than what the toothpaste manufacturers have to do today. He had to sell people on the idea that it was a good idea to use a toothpaste on your teeth to remove that film. And those are the key words, that film.
Oh.
He learned this through going through masses and masses of research about tooth decay and plaque and all that stuff. And we owe it to him as being somewhat the founder of the toothpaste industry. I think back to your question, you had asked me, how did I get started? And it all kind of started where I found on eBay there was someone selling a collection of Reader's Digest magazines.
Uh-huh.
And they were from 1930 to 1960, and I bought them all for about $500. And they were all shipped in these big boxes to me, and I just started pouring through them, looking at all the ads. Just, it was just incredible. Seeing,
you mentioned you have, also, there's a book I remember you recommended by, was it Denny Hatch or something like that?
Dennison Hatch, yeah.
Hatch. Well, you were saying that has a lot of archives. Is that the same sort of thing, or is there more that you can find, like, on your site, for instance?
Well, Denny Hatch, he's got a couple different websites. His book, I think, was called Who's Mailing What. He kind of does something similar. He's been doing it a lot longer than I have. He has a service where he has archived tens of thousands of direct mail letters, direct mail pieces. And so let's say you're a company and you want to create a direct mail package for a marketing seminar. Well, you can call Dennison Hatch and access his archives, and for $50 or $60, he'll fax you the entire direct mail piece that Jay Abraham used to promote Mastermind Marketing Program. Or let's say you're a carpet manufacturer and you're coming out with a new carpet sweeper. Well, you can contact Denny Hatch at his website and pay $50 or $60, and he'll fax you the entire last Oric vacuum direct mail promotion. So he archives and collects this stuff, and so Then again, what he does for direct mail pieces, I kind of do on the internet for editorial style magazine and newspaper ads.
Back to when you were talking about your J. Abraham material that you sell, and that's a big chunk of your business, right?
Right.
Is that how you make most of your dough?
That's how I make most of my dough.
I'm just curious now, did you ever get concerned that like J. Abraham or any of his people might try to paint some sort of case that you couldn't be doing this? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big fear of mine, and it was something that almost kept me from even doing it. But what I was doing, I wasn't breaking any laws. You know, what I am doing is nothing different than a used bookstore. A used bookstore buys used books and they resell it. Well, I'm buying used seminar material from the original attendees and just reselling it. Now, I knew that if I crossed the line even once and counterfeited or made unauthorized copies of anything, that would be the end of my business. And I was challenged by J. Abraham's attorneys very early on, and because of when I started this, I knew I had to play it straight from the very beginning. So when I was challenged, he asked to see proof of checks that I was really buying these seminars from original attendees. So I went to my file and I photocopied about 25 canceled checks and Federal Expressed him in a UPS next day air envelope to his attorney the copies of these checks as proof that what I was doing was legitimate.
Wow, and then they backed off your case at that point?
He appreciated me, you know, working with him so quickly, and it was complete proof and evidence that what I was doing was legitimate.
Well, if he thinks about it, if he's a smart marketer, which I know he is, he probably realize as long as you're not crossing that line, as long as you are only promoting his originally produced materials, then you're actually doing him a further service.
I am doing him a service, and I'm sure he's intelligent enough to realize that. I am his number one fan. I am promoting him in a big way, and the money I make from, you know, buying and reselling his seminars is really nothing in compared to what he gets in the lifetime value of a customer. I may not be doing this, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, but all those people that I've educated through my audio recordings or through the materials that they've bought from me that he really couldn't sell to, because J. Abraham had a price structure set where his stuff wasn't cheap, and he couldn't, that was his niche, these very high prices. He couldn't discount his stuff. In essence, I'm a vehicle to get J. Abraham products into the hands of a different market that he would have never gotten them into the first place.
Yeah, and then they might get hooked, and they might, say, buy some high-end, high-priced J. Abraham product that's new that maybe you don't even have yet.
Absolutely, and I'm sure that's happened already. I'm sure it'll happen in the future.
Yeah, so you really are doing him a service. But now, when I think about and look at your site and how much emphasis there is on J. Abraham as an individual marketer, what really made you select him out of all the other guys, Dan Kennedy's?
In my story, I got into, and it was all from personal experience, you know, I had acquired a set of a $20,000 seminar that I paid $50 for, and I had sold it up on eBay, and I sold it for $1,700. So because J. Abraham seminars were $20,000 and $15,000 and $5,000, the price was set so high that when I came in and offered them at $500 or $600 or $700, it seemed like a steal. And it is a steal compared to that price. Someone can get the same information, you know, one-fifth of the price. Because he set the value of his stuff so high, it just made financial sense that J. Abraham products was where the money is.
It's not necessarily that you think he is the best marketer in the world. It's that there was money you smelled over there.
Well, I think he is really the best and the most complete. I think he is, in my opinion, the best marketer in the world. It wasn't just money motivated, but it happened to
a perfect merit that he charges so much, has such a high perceived value of his product.
Exactly.
And they're kind of rare, and that you can get a hold of them.
And then another reason, why do I focus just on J. Abraham products? Because if I was everything to someone looking for marketing seminars and I didn't have a kind of a unique selling proposition, my niche is I'm the guy who can get the J. Abraham products for a lot less than what you'd pay for them if you got them from him, you know, at retail. That's my niche, and you can't throw too many things at someone. Now, even though I have different products on my site, J. Abraham is the one I want to be remembered for.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. How do you rate those? Say, like I said, you know, Dan Kennedy's my next favorite. What are your thoughts when you compare the two?
I think Dan Kennedy, I think he's a great marketer. I think you can learn from all of them. And I like Dan Kennedy's stuff, and I have a joint venture with him where I have most of Dan Kennedy's products up on my site. But you can get Dan Kennedy product dirt cheap off of eBay and from multiple resellers, because Dan Kennedy sold the master resale rights to all his products to maybe 20 or 30 people around the world. So I can't compete in price with what other people are selling Dan Kennedy products for.
I sometimes wonder if, like, Dan Kennedy ever studied Jay Abram, or Jay Abram ever studied Dan Kennedy, if these guys cross over in information. You studied Jay Abram a lot more than me. I'm more of a Dan Kennedy buff. I'm curious, and as I read on more Jay Abraham material, I'm curious to see if they cross over and really tell a lot of the same story or not.
I'm sure they do. You know, there's one common denominator about all these guys. They're rabid students. Jay Abraham studies Dan Kennedy, I'm sure. And Dan Kennedy studies Jay Abraham, and you know, everyone who's really interested in marketing and passionate about it studies everyone they can get their hands on. They're just like, you know, vultures for good marketing information. They'll devour and look and try and learn from anyone they can. Jay has endorsed Dan Kennedy products to his list, and I'm sure in some ways Dan Kennedy's endorsed Jay Abraham products to his list in some way. And there is crossover. You know, a lot of the stuff is rehashed, but that's no big deal, because you may like a personality better. You may like to learn from Dan Kennedy. You may like his style, his personality. Where Jay Abraham, you may not be receptive to listening to him because you don't like the sound of his voice or the way he uses big words. A lot of people think Jay Abraham comes across arrogant.
Yeah, I mean, I even kind of think that, but I still respect and will, you know, listen to him any day, because I know he knows more than me and he's made a lot more money than I've made.
Right. Well, everyone's an individual, and every person responds to someone differently, and we're all different. So you never know where that right fit's going to be. So that's why I tell people you're really benefiting by learning from all of them, because you may find a favorite guy you can really be more open to and more receptive to their message, because after all, that's all you want. You want to learn the message, and you want to also get it from different points of perspective, and it just enhances your ability to learn.
Amazing how into marketing you are. That's why I enjoy talking with you, because I thought I was a marketing geek, and look at your library that you talk about that you have. Very impressive to a marketer like me.
It's nice to meet people like you, because it's almost like a little fraternity, and you know, we can't really talk too much to our spouses or girlfriends about this stuff, or your center of influence. Most of them don't even care about it. So, but there are people just like us who are fascinated by marketing and have the passion that we both have for it.
Well, and if you look at these like relationships that like Jay Abraham and Dan Kennedy and like Gary Halbert and stuff all have, you know, together and the way they cross over, you can see that they were a little crew, you know, a little fraternity, that they grew up together in their generation. They're different from us. We're a little bit younger bucks, and we've got a new set of rules and a new medium, the internet, that we play by. And I look at it like this, that we are going to be, me, you, and a couple other people are going to be the next Jay Abrams and Dan Kennedys and Gary Halbert.
Yeah. That's exactly right. There was a group of marketing people way before them that are not even alive now, you know?
Right. And they studied them. We're studying, you know, some of these guys that I've just named, and I really think that eventually we're all going to have these same relationships, and we're going to be talking in seminar about each other and all that we've learned from one another, and feeding off of each other. And that's the neat thing about, like you talked about, the camaraderie and the fraternity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you're into marketing, you meet people who are like you, and there's no doubt relationships start to be formed, and joint ventures and endorsements. And you look at Jay Abraham, some of his earlier products. When Jay Abraham did his 1990 Protégé seminar, where he put 900 people through intensive week-long training on how to be a marketing consultant, in a lot of his products, he paid Gary Halbert to come on board and be one of the mentors to all the students that he put through. And he also paid Gary Halbert money to use in his supplemental material that the attendees got when they signed up for the $20,000 seminar. In particular, there's a product called Fimeo for your marketing eyes only. You have like a year and a half's worth of Gary Halbert's newsletter. Now, back then, you couldn't get it unless you paid $200 a year for the subscription. But that endorsement that Jay gave endorsing Gary Halbert's newsletter by putting it in his products was extremely valuable to Gary Halbert. And Gary Halbert, I'm sure, has done endorsements for him, too, in those earlier days. And they used to see each other and be speakers at the early seminars when they did seminars together, even when they started from the very beginning. So you're absolutely right.
I used to look at it, I was kind of guilty of being almost afraid to tell other people about great marketers, of kind of a selfish fear that they might go over there and, you know, go to them for all their knowledge. But I learned that if you really want to make serious money, you've got to be really free and generous and super giving with your knowledge. And I've learned that, for instance, by just telling people that, hey, you know, Michael Senoff is one of my favorite marketers, even though I'm sure I'm sending some people over to you, that they'll respect me because they're going to learn a lot from you, and they're going to respect me as the guy that told them.
Yeah, they'll remember that you're the guy who turned them on to me. That's correct.
And they'll know that we all, then eventually they'll hear maybe you talk about me, and, you know, you'll say, oh, you know, Jason Ryan Isaacson is, he's a guy that I like to do business with. And they'll just remember that we represent greatness in marketing. We teach certain principles that are undisputed and are proven, tried and tested, and that all the big dogs of the past use. How old are you? How long have you been running your hardtofindseminars.com website?
I'm 38 years old. I'll be 39 March 2nd. I've been running the Hard to Find seminars, maybe the beginning of 2001 is when I first started it. You know, it all started when I bought that seminar. I was just trying to learn. I had a pen manufacturing business. Even back then, I was manufacturing a pen, which was a red eye remover pen, a pen that removes red eye from photographs that's caused by your camera. And I wanted to learn how to sell more of my pens, and that's what got me interested, looking for information on how to sell more pens. And I was exposed to Jay Abraham through an audio tape and through a video tape, and then I found the seminar that was used from a lady in San Diego that I bought for $50. But I had heard about eBay, and I remember eBay stock was shooting up through the roof, and my brother-in-law told me about it, and I went to this site and I said, this is incredible, I want to sell something on eBay. I didn't have a digital camera, I didn't know how to use a digital camera, I didn't know how to upload a picture onto eBay. I was pretty computer illiterate. It was all very new to me. I had a big learning curve. And then when I started hardtofindseminars.com, I had some assistants. I had met a marketing coach. His name was Ramon Williams. Great marketing guy. I have a whole hour audio recording. You can hear what a genius he is, but he is really skilled at the internet. And he took me under his wing as my marketing coach and helped me get set up my first website, which was called michaelsenoff.com. And then he had an emergency in the family. His mom passed away, and he just disappeared. And I couldn't even get into my site, and I was left to fend for myself. So I had to learn this stuff on my own. And that's when it all started. And then, yeah, it was tough. I was frustrated. I'm like, where the hell is this guy? Just disappointed. I was totally dependent on him. And I just had to learn it on my own, finally do it myself. And so I'm pretty self-reliant, and I just late nights and early mornings, and studied and through experience, and asked questions, and just learned to do it just good enough. I'm no expert on the internet. I can do just what I need to do, just about 20% or 30% to get what I need done. You know, I could learn a lot more, but I just wanted to be able to control and do it myself. There's a big advantage to being able to understand and use the internet and upload files and develop a website and to use front page. You're way far ahead of the game if you take the time and invest to learn to do it yourself. Because when you rely on other people, you're hesitant to make changes, you spend a ton of money, and there's just some huge disadvantages. This is the end of part one. Please go to part two.
Did you know that I buy and pay cash for old marketing seminars? You may be a person who has a closet full of old marketing seminars just sitting there, waiting to be sold for cash. Well, if you do, I'm looking for Jay Abraham, Gary Halbert, old vintage marketing seminars, audio tapes, and books. And all you got to do is pick up the phone and call me or email me a list of what you have. I'll make you a cash offer on the spot, and you can turn some of that stuff that just sitting there doing nothing into cash that you can reinvest in some of my other products on the site or to do whatever you want with. That's another tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.